There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
You want to
keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on holiday. This is podcast number 337, April 5th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by the Jim Russell Rotex Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we love the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge. And they had their race yesterday, and we'll have results on that Wednesday, post-Motorsports Mondial. Steve, welcome to the studio, and of course, welcome to the humidity and moisture of the Malaysian Grand Prix at Sepang.
The heat and humidity, nothing like working in an F1 car in the sauna.
Well, you know what? After all the hoopla after the Australian Grand Prix, which really got completely out of control.
Completely. Just absolutely. It's like, you know, one of the things that we talk about in America a lot about is officiating, not basically determining the outcome of a game. And right now in Formula One, the officials seem to want to really stick their fingers in the pie.
I think pretty soon they're just not even going to announce the winner until like a week later.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, it'll be unofficial results pending steward review.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, and to be honest with you, the thing that I thought was really depressing, and then, you know, Hamilton coming out and apologizing, and the worst part is Whitmarsh putting the blame on Dave Ryan, who had been there since 1974.
Yeah.
I mean, even though if Dave Ryan, or also known as Davey Ryan, if he was guilty, the team principal takes the blame, takes full responsibility, because that's his job.
He takes full responsibility, and then he disciplines
and
the
then
guy.
Deals with that post-race off,
You
know, the internet, so to speak, because this was all over the place.
Yeah, and the other thing that really kind of bothers me about the whole thing is these cars are just buried in telemetry. You can't tell me that the stewards couldn't have looked at a recording of the telemetry during the race, and when the safety car came out and look at where the cars were. They didn't need to ask. They shouldn't have had to ask the teams the question. They should have been able to look at the telemetry and see what happened.
The Pentagon, with their military satellites, could have come up with a quicker response.
Yeah, it bothers me. In the, you know, I was reading somewhere, somebody, I think it was maybe an email that we'll have on this week's show, that, you know, at least in NASCAR, when the race is over, the race is over, and the results are official.
I agree.
Go back afterwards and go, oh, wait a minute, we think that, you know.
Very true, very true. But anyway, let's move on.
Though there was Daytona, like, last year when they threw out, like, 18 cars.
Right, but still, no, Formula One's got some issues to deal with, and we'll see how this season goes. Obviously, the excitement's out of control, but that whole thing got to me a little bit, and I wasn't that excited about qualifying, which is unusual. But maybe I knew Fernando wasn't going to do well, I don't know.
Yeah, when you get the other issues, too, that we know that Vettel's going to take a 10-place hit for what was really a bad steward's call. And then we find out Rubinho's going to take a five-place hit for a gearbox change. And it's kind of like, you know, let me see. So what we see at the end of qualifying isn't really going to matter, because half of the guys that are going to finish in the top 10 are going to end up getting pushed back because of something.
Of course, and of course the big story in qualifying will be Ferrari, and we'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, let's go right to Q1. Kaz Nakajima is out first in his Williams, and 13 minutes left. On top is Kimi Raikkonen, Jenson Button, now that we expect Jenson Button To be in the top.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ferrari and McLaren of last year. We expect the Bronze to be in the top three, you know?
Exactly, and we now know McLaren is not going to be very dominant this season, so it's funny how quickly we adapt to the new and beautiful 2009 Formula One season. Felipe Massa was third. Yarno Trulli and the Toyotas looking outstanding this weekend, including the Williams.
Williams looking, and Nico again in practices topping the timesheets.
Exactly.
Like he was in Australia.
Very impressive, of course. I have to say that Fernando Alonso, ear infection, not feeling good, has a temperature. And when you have a temperature and you're in Malaysia, that's got to be a big bummer.
Well, not only that, they were saying that it was actually affecting his balance, too. Of course. Which is not a good thing when you're driving a race car.
Well, I can relate because when I ever do get a cold, which I don't get very often because of the Bordeaux and the Stellas, I get an ear infection. So I completely relate, and it's just awful. So keep up the good work, Fernando, for hanging in there and not whining about it. Anyway, 10 minutes left. Fernando Alonso finally is out on track because he stayed in the garage. He's trying to put minimal laps out, which he did in practice, and it was obvious. I think Piquet was faster than him for a few practices, which is, you know, hopefully Piquet...
bolster his confidence maybe a little bit.
Exactly. And in Fernando's first lap with 10 minutes to go, he goes out into the grass, turning wide, and you could tell he was, you know... He wasn't feeling well.
Well, that and fighting the tires. The tires are taking a little bit of time to get up to temperature. I don't remember if he was on the hards or the softs.
Well, the tires are a big issue again.
Yeah. Though they're flip-flopped this week, and the softs are the good tire, and the hards are the not-so-good tires. So.
Exactly. And the softs are outstanding, almost a second and a half faster than the other compound. 6 minutes left to go. PK, fastest in Sector 1. And for sure, I thought my glasses... had turned rose-colored or something. It just didn't seem right. But Piquet was doing pretty good in Sector 1, 24-7. 5 minutes to go, typical Jensen Button right at the top. Kaz Nakajima, because we see the Williams doing well. Rubinho and Kimi Raikkonen, you know, I think he took some vitamins, and he's feeling a little bit better this weekend. They were fastest in second practice. So the Ferraris, for a while there, looked... like they might have put Australia behind them.
They've found a little bit of speed. I think that the curves may be giving them a little bit of benefit on this particular track because it's allowing them to get a better top end on the long straights. But again, they are Ferraris, and this is a team that has a lot of pride. I think they're just a tiny bit behind the curve at the moment. But I think probably by the time we get to Europe, they're going to be extremely competitive, especially if next week they determine that the diffusers are legal, the oversized diffusers are legal, and Ferrari mounts one.
Of course, and it was comical a bit when Kimi Raikkonen had the smoke coming out of the cockpit in one of the practices. At first, we thought it was a halon extinguisher that had might have gone off by accident, but apparently it was one of the batteries smoking.
One of the car's batteries deciding to go off.
Exactly. So that was a little awkward for Kimi Raikkonen, but once again, his luck hasn't been too good so far this season. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Ferrari as a whole's luck so far this sort of season hasn't been so great.
Exactly. Once again, the curse, it's almost the Bambino curse, similar to the New York Yankees. Anyway, another team that looked really outstanding was Vettel and Webber in the Red Bull Renault.
Yeah. Here's a car that's going to be, you know, if they go and mount a diffuser, it's going to be really competitive because even now without one, they're pretty much keeping up with the diffuser group.
Exactly. And what really is depressing for me is obviously the Renault power plant is not the issue over at Renault F1. They've got some serious downforce and aerodynamic problems.
Well, I think they've gotten a big benefit. Nui's kind of hit this one, you know, is hitting one out of the park with this one. Though we're not seeing it nearly as much on the Toro Rosso's, but the two RBRs are really competitive.
I agree. And they were exciting in the race itself. But anyway, in the end, Yarno Trulli on top with 1 minute left to go in Q1. Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg, and Kazuya Nakajima were the top five. And it was really odd towards the end. Felipe Massa was in the garage already. And I thought, you know, I was they're going to wait for the last two minutes.
And get him out with three to go or something.
Exactly. But they didn't. For some reason, they were fairly confident, and there was many minutes left to go. And
their time wasn't necessarily that strong, you know.
Especially when the other guys like Toyota, Red Bull came out and started knocking those times down, and he was in 16th place faster than I could shake a stick.
Yeah, and it's amazing, especially this season so far, that even in especially in the first session, the way you can go from 10th to 16th in just, you know, 30 seconds.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And once again, I don't know what's going on at Ferrari, but it was clearly bad management. You can't blame Felipe Massa for this.
That was a team mistake. There was some, you know, at the very least, he should have been on track with the opportunity to get himself up out of the relegation zone. And he was in the garage with the car up on the jacks.
Exactly. So Felipe Massa out in Q1. Nelson Piquet Jr., Giancarlo Fisichella, Adrian Sutil, and Sebastian Buemi.
Yeah. Basically, what happened to Buemi is that on his hot lap right near the end of the session, he overcooks it a little bit, loses it in the corner, and just blows his good lap. And he was crying over the radio that it was his best lap of the day, and he blew it.
Well, he's still a rookie, and if rookies don't make mistakes, they're never going to learn. So it's part of the learning curve. Kudos for Sebastian Bourdais for making it into Q2. Obviously, he's getting a little more comfortable with the car, and he had some fairly decent grip levels. Let's go right to Q2. 10 minutes left. Jarno Trulli, Jenson Button, Nick Heidfeld finally picking up the pace, and it's been in the press. This guy better pick up his game, or this is his last year in Formula One.
Well, he's got to pick it up, too, because he's the car with the Kurs of, in, I believe it, BMW is the only team that's running this strategy. Where
yeah, one with and one without.
Exactly. So far, he's been outpaced by his teammate without it, and so he needs to make a dent with it.
And obviously in Q2, the Red Bulls come alive, and so does Toyota. 2 minutes to go, and it's Jarno Trulli, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Mark Webber, Kimi Raikkonen, Nico Rosberg, and I expected them to do a little bit better, but his practice showing was, I thought it was a significant sign, but he just couldn't put it together in quali, but still not too bad. Nick Heidfeld, Fernando Alonso, and Lewis Hamilton is the top 10. And in the end, Jenson Button goes right to the top, which we expect them to. And it was a 133.784. Jarno Trulli, Mark Webber, Timo Glock doing a fine job today. Sebastian Vettel, Rubens Barrichello, Kimi Raikkonen, Nico Rosberg, Robert Kubica, and Fernando Alonso in P10. Out goes Sebastian Bourdais, which we knew that was going to happen. Heikki Kovalainen and Lewis Hamilton do not make it to Q2. Besides Ferrari, that's the other story. I think they expected it, but I really don't like Martin Whitmarsh coming out and saying, we know we're slow. You know, keep that to the...
Again,
I want to see more confidence out of
some of these one of the things, too, that, you know, in a lot of the principles of success is you don't speak out what you don't want to be. You know, you stated this, we're having some challenges. We know we're slow, because you're basically telling the universe you're slow and you're going to end up slow.
Exactly. I mean, what do we know?
Yeah. You know.
But still.
And no, we'll see how they turn out. See if, you know, if the diffuser becomes, you know, we're all kind of up in the air as whether or not the diffuser is going to be declared legal next week. And I hope it is, because I think it will make for better racing. But what will happen to the McLarens if they get, you know, the fat diffuser, and if that's going to give them enough to move them up the field, or is it just going to, you know, just give them just a little bit of help?
We'll see what happens. Of course, Kaz Nakajima didn't make it, and Nick Heidfeld didn't make it to Q3, but his teammate, who doesn't have Kurs, did make it to Q3. So keep up the good work, Robert Kubica.
Yeah.
Q3 starts up. Kimi Raikkonen, first man out. You know why? People are thinking it might rain. We better get a lap in really fast.
Yeah,
you don't want to be sitting in the garage.
No, exactly. Especially in Malaysia, where we find out later that it can go from dry to drizzle to complete downpour in a lap.
Welcome to Malaysia.
Exactly.
But anyway, I thought for a minute there that Jarno Trulli might pull one out of a hat. He was very competitive.
He was looking pretty good, and actually he was on top of the numbers.
Yeah, with 2 minutes to go, and he was still on top.
And he was at the top when the checkered flag came out.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Last Q3, we know.
Exactly.
As those
people start coming across, you're going to probably end up losing spots if anybody quicker in previous rounds is behind you.
And Jensen Button, obviously, Ross Braun's come out and said he is the new revitalized Jensen Button.
I think Jens, watching him last week and the earlier part of this week, he's having fun again because he's in a competitive car.
Well, winning will make you giggle, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. When you can get out there and you know you're going to be competitive, it certainly makes it a lot easier to come to the track.
And he wasn't the lightest car
on
the track.
Not by a shot.
So there you have it. Jensen Button takes pole position with Yarno Trulli second. Sebastian Vettel and Rubinho will fill out the second row.
But they won't because they'll both take grid penalties. Sebastian drops
correct.
10 and
I just
Rubinho
don't feel like
5.
There's too much math for me to do right now.
Exactly. Here are the qualifying results. We'll get to the grid later.
Exactly.
After Rubinho is Timo Glock and Nico Rosberg, Mark Webber, Robert Kubica, and Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso. As we find out when we get to the grid on Sunday, both Kimi and Fernando are running huge fuel loads.
Huge. And for me, that's a big story because of the start of the race, which I'm going to get to in a couple of minutes, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you,
downright amazing what they managed to pull off, considering.
For me, that was an exciting start for a couple of drivers. Very impressive. And I don't mean to be mean, but I'm really... And I watched the BBC coverage, and I'm really glad that David Coulthard is holding a microphone now.
Really?
Yeah. That way we get all the cars through, and...
and there's our gratuitous wreck of the week.
It's just, I don't know, but the big question, will the rain come now, later, how much?
Yeah, when's the rain? It's not kind of like...
Well, they've already announced they know it's coming.
Exactly. It's not as if, is it going to rain? It's no, when is it going to rain is more the question. And I think we see a lot of that play into the fuel strategies for some of the teams. I think they set their fuel strategies up with a forethought to when the rain might come during the race.
Well, a lot of Malaysian people thought it was really silly for them to kick the race up to 5 p.m. because that's usually when it rains.
Yeah, well, it puts it right in the
late afternoon.
The late afternoon rain window.
So I was a bit bewildered on that. But anyway, the lights go out, and Nico Rosberg probably has the best start of his career in this race.
That would be phenomenal. Button doesn't get off the line.
Terrible.
Or, yeah.
He Rubened it.
Yeah, almost. And then we have Robert Kubica a little bit further back in the grid, who I don't know if he actually stalled it or if it just he almost lost
I thought him. He stalled it, to be honest with you, because everybody was going around him, and then finally he just gets up to speed. It was like he dropped his donut.
Yeah, or he, inadvertently left it in fifth gear. It was really weird because, all the flags are going through. You think someone stopped, but then when they showed the replays, he was moving, but he was just... just kind of rolling along instead of, jumping out of the gate.
Okay, and of course we had Jensen Button and Yarno Trulli up front. With the grid penalties, that meant Timo Glock and Nico Rosberg were the second row. Third row was Mark Webber and Robert Kubica. Fourth row was Kimi Raikkonen and Rubens Barrichello. And then the fifth row was Fernando Alonso and Nick Heidfeld. And the other driver, who had an outstanding start and slotted into third as I was standing up and screaming at the top of my lungs at 2 a.m. in the morning, was, of course, Fernando.
Phenomenal job.
From P9, he was in third.
Yeah, he gets up, he gets beside Button, and he squeezes Button out to take the third slot.
It was totally
coming out of
impressive.
The first corner.
And once again, I am right.
And Rosberg comes off the line like he shot out of a gun. He just
and
blows
he takes
by.
The lead.
And he's through the first turn complex and running away before anybody...
Showing
really...
great pace. Fernando, the big problem with him is once he gets third, he's got this huge fuel load.
Exactly.
And he looks like a tankard out there being chased by a bunch of speedboats.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically driving the pig. But he just had a phenomenally good job for quite a while before anybody's able to actually start getting past him. But at least three times that I recall seeing, they beat him into the corner, but he beats him out.
Yeah, and I think Kurz is great, but when you have a heavy fuel load, it gives you a little bit, but you can see it's languishing, you know.
Well, what's happening is that you've got so much weight to overcome, that extra 80 horsepower isn't really giving you much benefit.
Yarno truly does a really good job because he remains in P2. So, right after the lights go out, we got some excitement. Buemi gets a little nose job, but in the end, it's Nico Rosberg in the lead, Yarno truly, Jenson Button, who's already passed Fernando pretty quickly.
Yeah, it took him a little bit. It took him a little more than a lap, but it wasn't that tough for him to get by.
Fernando Alonso. We have Rubens Barrichello, Kimi Raikkonen, Mark Webber, Timo Glock had a terrible start. He was already in P8.
So his cues from Jensen in front of him, and he was a little bit late on the gas.
Timo Glock lost a number of spots. He wasn't very happy with that. Heikki Kovalainen, you know, and when I looked at the replay, he just loses it. Nobody touches the car.
No, it was almost like something broke.
I thought, but
because watching the replay, and you see him twitch, and then bang, he's off.
I agree, but he completely lost it. And that some of these cars, you know, the tires, you know, when they're waiting on the grid, do cool down a bit.
Yeah, but the thing that really surprised me about it was the way it just took off.
Yeah.
To the side, you know, that seemed odd, because if he'd lost it, I would have expected it to be more of a, you know, it's almost like it surprised him and he, you know, overcorrected or something.
And real quickly, I want to remind people that Robert Kubica, when he was doing the formation lap to come into the grid, he gets on the radio, and sometimes I had a hard time understanding what he was saying because it was a Polish accent, but apparently his motor wasn't sounding good.
No, and it really wasn't sounding good by the end of the first lap.
Well, not only that, but he was out of the car and it was in flames.
Yes, exactly.
So, big bummer there, but you can't blame it on Kurz.
No.
It is, and now we're only on lap two. Buemi goes in for a new nose. Lap three, fast lap of the race, 1:38.217 by Mr. Jenson Button. Rubens Barrichello passes the tanker called Fernando Alonso, and Jenson Button is now catching Yarno truly, and Nico Rosberg is doing a fine job leading the race. Lap four, fastest lap of the race. Nico, 1:38.041. And at this stage, Sebastian Vettel passes Lewis Hamilton for P10.
Yeah, they were kind of hammered on it. Vettel's the lightest car on the grid, and he's at this point only managed to get past two cars.
Listen, the problem is he's passing Lewis Hamilton, who's got curves. And these guys push that little button, and you can't get by. You know, it's like on the freeway when you want to pass somebody, and then all of a sudden they start speeding up.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Lap five, Sebastian Vettel is pushing Nick Heidfeld quite a bit. And, of course, Kimi Raikkonen chasing down the tanker, Fernando Alonso.
About this time that the FIA is predicting rain in about 10 minutes, but we know how that can be after last season.
We've gone through this before.
It's like, which means it's going to either happen in 5 minutes or a half hour.
And the problem is how much rain. You know, usually over there, it's monsoon, and it just drops.
It's pretty much dry or torrential downpour.
Exactly. Lap six, Jenson Button closing in on Yarno truly, and Nico Rosberg doing a fine job, staying in control, no mistakes, and pulling away from the field. Lap 8, fast lap of the race. Rubens Barrichello with a 1:37.948. And once again, they announce, rain is on the way. Lap 9, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton pass Nick Heidfeld, who is now in P11. Fast lap of the race on lap 9, Yarno Trulli. The irony there, the fast laps of the race are not Kurz cars.
Yeah.
None of them. Lap 10, fast lap of the race. Nico Rosberg. And the top 10 look like this. Nico Rosberg, Yarno Trulli, Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, Mark Webber, Timo Glock, Sebastian Vettel, and Lewis Hamilton. At the end of lap 10, Kimi Raikkonen passes Fernando Alonso finally because, now they both had curves, and Fernando Alonso was holding his line pretty good, but when the time came, Kimi definitely got around him.
Yeah, got a good pass on him. Fun to watch, you know, Fernando's, you know, playing a Trulli train, running four or five cars behind him at that point.
A little bit.
But not too bad. And you could see that Kimi had a little bit more up and go, because once he was past Alonso, he started to pull away.
Yes, there you have it. Lap 11, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 1:37.579. And now we have the Mark Webber and Fernando Alonso show about to begin.
Yeah, that was a fun bit of
And this was good stuff. Funny. And to be honest with you, a lot of people started with the soft compound, and by this lap, Fernando Alonso, with the heavy load, those tires were problematic at best.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have a little tit-for-tat. Mark Webber gets by Fernando. Then Fernando gets by Mark Webber. Then Mark Webber gets by Fernando. And Fernando tries it again. So there was a good thing. Finally, Mark Webber does get the upper hand, but it takes by lap 12. Lap 13, Sebastian Vettel pits. He was the lightest, and he pits first. Sticks with the soft tires, 10.7 second stop, and he comes out in P17,
which tells you how tight the field is that, you know, that you're going to lose that many spots on what amounts to a really good pit stop.
Exactly. Lap 14, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 1:37.555, and PK Nelsonino. He's in P12.
Yeah, was it?
Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because they actually interviewed his dad on Speed TV. On Speed TV, and you can see where Nelson gets it.
I told you guys.
His whole man was just like, you know, we're not too happy with what we expect him to be doing better by now. You know, and just like a complete, like, you know, almost like no pride in his son.
Dude,
you know, the fact that he's made it to Formula One, that's not enough.
That was expected.
Yeah. And just, I'm off going, poor Nelsonino. It's like, geez, man, this old man, you know. No pats on the back for you, kid.
Trust me, Nelsonino will be managing a chain of several 7-Eleven stores in Brazil in a couple of years. That's just my thoughts on that. Lap 15, Nico Rosberg pits. He goes with the soft tires, 9.7 second stop, and everybody's doing pretty good pit stops. Very impressed. Not too many mistakes.
No, we haven't really seen any major faux pas. We've seen a couple of stops that kind of hang up for. Most of the time, you really can't tell what's going on. Usually, it's something with one of the rear tires. But everybody's getting in and out pretty quick. And this tells you how far ahead he was. He gets back out in P4.
Exactly. Very good job. I was very impressed. Timo Glock pits as well. Adrian Sutil pits. And now, Jenson Button is pushing Jarno Trulli. Mark Webber pits on lap 16, 9.1 second stop. And he sticks with the soft compound. Finally, Jarno Trulli pits, 9.8 second stop. Rubens Barrichello puts in a fast lap with a 1:37.484. And once again, still no rain.
But there are some dark clouds looming over Sepang now.
Well, they've been dark clouds since the beginning.
Exactly.
Jenson Button, Rubens Barrichello, Jarno Trulli, Kimi Raikkonen, and Fernando Alonso holding on to that top five spot. Keep up the good work, Mr. Espanoli. Lap 18, fast lap of the race. Jenson Button with a 1:36.641.
Which will stand up as the fastest lap of the race.
Yeah, lap 18 is pretty much the peak right there. And then things start to develop. And for the guys in red, you know what? Renault does this a lot because, you know, especially last year, you're struggling. You can afford to take some chances. You're not fighting for the championship towards the end of the season. So you take some gambles.
Take a risk.
But I think in the second race of the season, and I know you didn't score any points in the first race, it's still early on. I don't think big risks are called for. I think it's a mistake. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, the risk that they take, I think they may have stepped one too far. I think if I'm going to go back out on wets after on a pit stop, even if it's not pouring rain, I'm going out on intermediates just so that I can get that extra two laps when it starts to rain before I have to go in and get the wets. Instead of going out on full wets, and if it doesn't start raining, you're screwed because the tires are going to burn up in like five laps.
Exactly. So there it is. Lap 18, Kimi Raikkonen pits. And they roll the dice. I can see them in the back of the paddock. They roll the dice, and it came up snake eyes.
Now, I think they flipped the coin. It was like, do we go back out on softs or do we go back out on wets?
And they decide to go for full wets because, you know, they keep hearing, rain's on the way.
And, you know they've got to have the weather feed and our timing it and thinking that it's going to get there, but it gets there, but I don't think it really gets there in time to really give Kimi a whole lot of benefit.
Exactly. So a number of teams So Kimi goes out in his full wets, and it's not raining yet.
No.
But they think it's coming. And they think it's going to be the Malaysian type.
And they think it's going to be within the next... It's got to be within the next 5 minutes.
I agree.
Otherwise, Kimi's tires are toast.
I agree. Jensen Button pits on lap 19, 8.7 second stop. He sticks with the dries. Sebastian Bourdais pits, and he goes with the wets. Rubens Barrichello pits, and he sticks with the dries, 9.4 second stop, and he comes out in P4. A really good stop. Lap 20, Sebastian Vettel passes Kimi Raikkonen. Why?
Because Kimi's baby in the tires.
Absolutely. And he's praying for rain.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him.
Yeah, I almost get the feeling he's thinking about going off to the grass to get some moisture on
him. I saw him. He took the Filalia bottle and he was wetting the full wet tires. You know. It looked like a religious ceremony. But luckily, the television cameras didn't catch that.
They missed that. Damn.
So there you have it. So on lap 21, we've got Jenson Button, Nico Rosberg, Yano Trulli, Rubens Barrichello, Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Nick Heidfeld, Felipe Massa, Nelson Piquet Jr., Kaz Nakajima. Lap 22, Fernando goes into the gravel. Why? It's starting to rain. But very little.
It's more of a it's a light rain at this point. It's enough to wet the track that can make the dry tires treacherous, because one of those small advantages that we had with the groove tires is that if there was a little bit of moisture on track, you could kind of get away with it for a little while. Now with complete slicks, you're toast. If there's a sheen of water on the track and you catch it just right, you're gone.
Not only that, but Fernando is running on those tires that are degraded severely. They've got marbles, a little bit of rain, and he went.
But give Fernando credit in that he managed to run it far enough out to get it to the grass strip on the other side of the gravel and get himself back on track.
Yep. If that was Nelsino, game over.
He beaches it halfway across because he punches it before he gets...
Exactly. So keep up the good work, Fernando. Another churro your way. So on lap 22, right when Fernando goes into gravel but does save it, Jenson Button pits for wet tires. And, of course, now everybody's pitting, and I can't really keep track.
And it's crazy, because when Button comes in, I think the other top four cars are coming in the pits behind him, and you see everybody's right up against each other trying to get to their stalls as fast as they can.
And you know what happened is, when a lot of these teams arrived in Malaysia, there were a couple of days where it was just a downpour. And that just stuck in their mind, and that's what they expected.
Yeah.
They didn't expect a sprinkle
for
intermediates. They went with the downpour concept, and they all went with these wet tires, and it was a disaster.
And here's your list. In lap 23, Button comes in, followed by Rosberg, Trulli, Barrichello, Heidfeld, Hamilton, Weber, and Massa in that order. And it's just like, whoa, this is, I don't think we've seen this many cars in the pits in a long time.
And here is where we see the Red Bulls really pick it up. Both Mark Webber, this is probably one of the better performances I've seen from Mark Webber in a long, long time.
Yeah, definitely. And he's always been challenged in Malaysia, too.
Mark Webber passes Lewis Hamilton for P6 on lap 23. Lewis repasses Mark Webber, and then Mark Webber tries to pass Lewis Hamilton, but runs wide. Mark Webber continues to fight Lewis. Mark Webber takes Lewis. And then Mark Webber is gone.
Yeah.
And he really, the Red Bull was really outperforming the McLaren.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in straight line speed. He was able to just kind of pull away from better low end, which, kudos to Adrian Newey. That car is quick, even without the diffuser.
And Mark Webber continues. Lap 25, he passes Nick Heidfeld for P5. And Lewis Hamilton comes on the radio saying he has a problem with the rev limiter. Not sure what that meant, but as he's suffering...
It sounded to me, at least the way I heard it, is what was happening is it was kicking in before he was actually hitting 18,000.
Correct, so he wasn't getting to the 18,000, hence not the machismo that he wanted.
To the complete top. The interesting thing is, on lap 26, Glock comes in, and he takes inters.
And this team, Toyota, and I don't get me wrong, we've mocked them in the past, but this year... They seem to be strategically doing good decisions. The car is looking good, and the drivers are doing a good job.
Yeah, they're making smart decisions. They're racing well. They're competitive. You know, I'm starting to wonder if maybe some of that old school experience from the Williams team is kind of rubbing off on them a little bit as far as, you know, just kind of institutional intelligence. It seems to be helping them out quite a bit. And this was actually turns out to be a pretty good call because at the moment there isn't enough rain to make the wets work. And the intermediates are end up giving him quite a bit of an advantage and allow him to move up the field. When he comes out, he's at P7, and before long, he's already, you know, the next lap, he's already challenging Heidfeld for sixth, and it ends up working out pretty well for him.
Oh, he did a fantastic job. It was Donington 93, Ayrton Senna. I mean, he did a fantastic job with the right tires when the team and the driver merge and work as one and make the right decisions when they're really, really important in these kinds of scenarios. Bingo. Timo Glock is doing an outstanding job. Lap 27, Rubens Barrichello passes Jarno Trulli and Nico Rosberg. Something happened, but then right after that, yeah, Nico Rosberg
just as he passes Rosberg, Rosberg takes off into the pit.
But I still wanted to give him a little bit of...
he basically made the pass, and then Nico went off.
And we know that Rubens Barrichello is simply irresistible. He's so fine, there's no telling where the money went. There you go, that was for Tricky Dick.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Lap 29, Fernando Alonso and Kaz Nakajima pit, Jensen Button pits, and now everybody's going for intermediates because they saw what was going on with Timo Glock.
And now they're all going to be going, oops.
Mark Webber, Felipe Massa pits, Kimi Raikkonen, Nelson Piquet pits. And finally, lap 30, Jenson Button passes Timo Glock because that Braun is just...
It's insane. Everybody's in. Button pits. He's out on inners. Webber's in.
Massa's and the rain is starting to come down hard.
And it's funny because as soon as they get these tires on and go back out, now it's pouring rain.
Now it's pouring rain and Timo Glock has to go back in for full wets. Rain is, and there's thunder. Apparently the thunder is hitting lightning. The commentary booth. Martin Brundle is whimpering.
Oh, is he really?
Everybody pits again because the rain is really coming down. Sebastian Vettel spins, and he's out. Jenson Button pits for full wets, as I said. He keeps the lead. He has such a good gap that he pits again for the full wets and keeps the lead. And, of course, there's more pitting.
Glock finally comes in and gets full wets.
Absolutely.
Webber, Rosberg, Moss are pitting. Hamilton's in, too. Everybody's going to the full wets because there are portions of the track where it's ridiculously wet already.
Yes, and the camera closes up on some of the sides of the edges of the track, and it's a river.
Yeah, and it's not too long after this that at least the commentators on speed are going, wow, this is getting bad. Probably about time for a safety car, and about as soon as they say that, the SC pops up on the screen.
Yeah, a safety car is deployed on lap 31. Jenson Button, luckily, is at the front of the spear.
Yeah, he's holding the lead at the moment. Glock manages to pass Heidfeld for P2, but that's lap 32, as we'll find out. They're going to change up this. They deploy the safety car on lap 32, and before the end of the lap, they've red flagged the race.
Exactly, and I mean, people are spinning off the track. Fisichella, Heidfeld.
Lewis Hamilton had a nice little pirouette.
Exactly.
Everybody's just...
Visibility.
Even on the full wets, people are having trouble with aquaplaning. And so it's kind of rough, but you can see what's... I think they were showing Button and Trulli going around the track, or maybe it was Button and Glock, and they went to one of the onboard cameras, and you could barely see the red light in front of them blinking.
Well, yeah.
And they did an overhead shot, and it was like two boats.
And porpoises following, right?
Yeah, out on the lake. It was so bad.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad. They red flagged the race, of course, so they all have to park on the grid and wait for the restart.
Right.
And that means the teams can work on the cars.
Do everything but fuel them, basically.
Right, and the drivers get out. Most of them do. Some don't because they're so excited because they know that they're right at the front. People like Jenson Button. Timo Glock, even Lewis Hamilton stays in the car for a good while.
The other thing, I think part of the reason some of those guys do that too is just to stress one place to stay dry.
That's true. And of course, when the restart comes, the teams get a 10-minute warning. Now, don't forget, even though the race is red flag, the clock continues to tick.
Right.
The 2-hour window.
Towards the 2-hour limit. and they're looking at it. The couple of things they're trying to look at, too. One, at this point, they're looking to see if they can see an opening in the rain, in the radar, whether or not it's going to stop. And two, time to restart versus when the time limit's going to expire. And another thing they're running into, since they started this race basically 2 hours later than normal, it's getting dark.
Yeah. People forgot about that part.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? The sun goes down, even on Formula One.
Yeah. Bernie can't stop everything. But that is the big problem. And in the end, we wait for about 53 minutes. And with the 10-minute warning they need to give the teams, you could tell that it wasn't going to work. The race wasn't going to restart. And most of that time was to figure out the position.
Well, actually, it would ultimately deciding at what lap they were going to turn. The race ended. They ended up going back to lap 31.
Right.
That, basically, it's funny because when Timo gets out of his car to head towards the podium, he's in second.
Correct.
And by the time he gets to the podium, he's third. And he's kind of like going, it was funny, he was in the interview room, and he's talking about, I'm just hoping when I go back down, they don't tell me I've moved even further back down the field.
Yeah, exactly. So that was interesting, but we found out that they went only to 31, not 32, which was the smart thing to do. They figured it out. They figured out where everybody classified. Of course, since we didn't go three quarters of the race, everybody gets half points. So Jens Button, for example, got five points instead of 10. Which is fine. Everybody was in the same race, so
which will be fun for the rest of the year because now we've got teams with half points.
Yes, people with half points, which I think is exciting.
Yeah, this makes it more interesting. Keep the graphics guys on their toes.
So, give us the final top finishers, Stephen.
Final finish order: Jenson Button wins his second race in a row behind a safety car, so he's a little bit disappointed in that regard. But he does have
a win, and he's got this new bond with safety cars.
Exactly. Nick Heidfeld finishes second, which is excellent considering how far back, you know, he was basically out of the top 10 when he started. Timo Glock finishes third. Jarno Trulli in fourth. Rubinho in fifth. Mark Webber finishes sixth. Lewis Hamilton in seventh. Nico Rosberg in eighth. Felipe Massa in ninth. Sebastian Bourdais finishes 10th. Fernando Alonso 11th. Kaz Nakajima in 12th. Nelsinho Piquet in 13th. And Kimi Raikkonen, 14th. The next four classified but didn't actually finish. Sebastian Vettel, Sebastian Buemi, Adrian Sutil, and Giancarlo Fisichella. I believe all four of them had offs in those final laps and so did not basically cross the finish line on that 31st lap. And then out of the race are Robert Kubica with his flaming engine and Heikki Kovalainen with his funky quick right turn into the barrier. Again, I would wish they delved into that more. I'd like to hear what Heikki had to say as to what happened to him in that incident, you know, since we know he has to be available once he gets back to the paddock. Would have been nice if somebody went and...
Heikki,
what happened?
He was one of the guys that did not get interviewed post-race.
Yeah, well, not only that, but he probably wasn't there post-race, but he's supposed to be available as soon as he gets back to the paddock.
New rules.
And... no one there. Peter Winsor didn't run over to talk to him. So,
and my favorite part was Kimi Raikkonen, while all the drivers were still waiting, they're in their race suit, waiting for the restart, because there's a possibility of a restart. Kimi Raikkonen, his car and him are in the garage. He's changed out of his suit. You see him eating on a popsicle. Sort of like that.
The attitude, but breaking. I have a feeling too that there was actually something wrong with his car too.
It's possible
that they didn't want to basically put it back out on track. Because something was going on, maybe something related to the smoke bomb that somebody dropped in his car lot yesterday.
But I found it interesting because everybody's sitting in the rain, and this guy says, I'm not standing in the rain. I'm out of here.
Exactly. If it were snow, I'd be there.
Keep up the good work.
I'm going to hang out in the
rain. Kimi Raikkonen, and of course, congratulations to Braun GP for another outstanding victory. No matter how you get it, a win.
It's a win.
There you have it. So anyway, I've got some post-race driver comments just to
spice it up a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Some of this is pretty funny stuff. Okay, this is Felipe Massa. He leapt into the defense of Ferrari after the Scuderia ended up empty-handed for the second time in as many Formula One weekends in 2009, insisting the team has not suddenly become stupid. We were in good position at the time of the first pit stop, and then we made a mistake. Fitting the rain tires when their rain hadn't fallen yet was a mistake. That was where my race was pretty much over. Lewis Hamilton had some thoughts. He described the conditions in the Malaysian Grand Prix in Sepang as impossible and the most dangerous in which he has ever competed. As the reigning Formula One world champion admitted that he was relieved simply to keep his McLaren Mercedes on the circuit. Nico Rosberg, "I took the lead off the start," related the 23-year-old, who also set the fourth fastest lap of the race, behind only the Braun GP duo of Button and Barrichello. "And truly, it is a while since Williams have been out front on pure performance. I have to thank the engineers for that. The car was going really well, and I showed my ability to consistently push on each lap and open the gap to those behind me." So there you have it, Stephen. A few comments. Okay, now we've got a new concept going on the forum where people are going to give us their
2 cents.
Post-race rupees, so to speak. They're 2 rupees. So, Stephen, why don't you start it off with Ye's post-race comments.
Ye's comments. "Good to see another mixed-up race. I think Braun are still holding performance back. Toyota's looking good, too. I fear confusion over the results will go on for a few days. This season is going to be great."
Tricky Dick, "A shame the race concluded prematurely, but a great display of action nevertheless. A solid show by Braun F1 is not perhaps a little unlucky with Rubens. Toyota have picked up their game, and I was very impressed with Red Bull's pace during the wet."
Leon Bray writes, "Great race. Red Bulls were very quick in the wet and finally got to see Weber racing and passing. All tracks should have random hosing sometimes during the race."
Miguel, "Poor choice of starting hour meant an anticlimactic ending to an exciting race. Race hero Glock seemed to have watched the Donington 93 race. His tire decisions were inspired and Senna-like. On the opposite side of the scale, Kimi and Ferrari won the Silly Sods Award for poor decision-making."
Iceman writes, "A great half race, phenomenal action, huge amounts of passing, some inspired tire choices, some truly dreadful ones. Too much weather, started 1 hour too late, results should have been quickly called once there was no chance of restart. Driver of the day, Timo Glock."
And finally, Autoracer 5, also known as Christopher, "Good start by Nico, shame he only got 7th. Timo Glock's strategist must have studied Ross Braun's wins with Schumacher. Great battle with Weber and Fernando. Stupid rule with race clock under red flag. Hurts fans the most. Thanks a lot, Bernie, for screwing the fans for the sake of television." So there you have it. If you want to hear your thoughts on the F1 Weekly podcast, go to the forum and post, and we'll probably read them for the third race coming up in a couple of weeks.
China.
There you have it. So Shanghai is next. Real quickly, there was a lot of racing this weekend, and since NASCAR is on holiday, I feel obligated to update the folk who are interested in other racing series. So in WRC, I think the headlines should be only when he doesn't win.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of become the Sebastian Loeb show.
Exactly. So Sebastian Loeb wins in the Rally of Portugal. Once again, Sebastian Loeb, the machismo of France. In the European Le Mans series, Aston Martin claimed a dramatic victory for its new LMP1 coupe in the opening round of the Le Mans series at Barcelona in Le NASCAR. Kyle Busch scored his second Nationwide Series victory of the season by dominating the O'Reilly 300 at Texas Motor Speedway. In the BTCC, Matt Neal kicked off his British Touring Car Championship campaign by winning the opening round of the season at Brands Hatch. Jonathan Adam claimed his maiden British Touring Car win in the final race of the day, and then all of a sudden Jonathan Adams got stripped of his British Touring Car Championship victory following a controversial incident with Jason Plato while battling for the lead in the third race.
So FIA stewards jumping out everywhere these days.
Exactly. So controversy doesn't just stick its nose in Formula One. They're all over the place. So there you have it. GP2 Asia. Vitaly Petrov put in a faultless performance to win a tricky, very wet of course, in Malaysia. GP2 Asia Sprint Race at Sepang. Keep up the good work, Vitaly. The American Le Mans Series. Hycroft Racing's David Brabham and, of course, Scott Sharp took the new Acura LMP1's first victory in round two of the American Le Mans Series at St. Petersburg. They were in the support race for the Indy Racing League. And so there you have it on that, and I'm sure
there'll be much more in Motorsports Mondial on Wednesday.
Exactly. Nasser is right now at the beach with one of those tanning tins on his neck. Okay, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate all the listeners and, of course, the forum members who contribute on a daily basis. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.